Well, excellent. Thank you, everyone, for being here this morning. It's good to see all of you. And it's especially good because after a really big service like we had last Sunday with many guests and the bishop and so forth, it's real easy to practice what some Christians call low Sunday, which is a reference to low attendance after a really big event. But we're doing really well today. Many of us are here. Some of us are away. And I'm just glad to see all of you this morning so that we can share some of these things from the gospel and come to the Lord's table this morning. And I want to unpack this particular parable of Jesus. I mean, once again, it's fairly direct and hard-hitting in some ways. So, delving into it is going to open up some more things for us. And what's very interesting about this particular parable is this. You remember that all the parables are meant to increase faith, open up faith. And it's easy in our Christian life to be using them, as we've said from time to time, to look for right and wrong ethics and that sort of thing, and leave it at that. There's some ethics in it, but the primary purpose is faith, to receive faith. And this particular parable is, I mean, that's the point of the whole thing, is faith. It's not another way around it, so you get faith. Jesus is directly saying, this is about faith. So, I thought that'd be great to go into that a little further. And when I first read this week, the first question that came to my mind was, well, why spend time doing something? I don't remember why, but that's what came to my mind. And it's because we believe it will make some kind of difference. We do something because we believe it'll make some kind of difference. Oh, yeah, that's because of the widow here kept doing something. Right, all right. But so the first reason is we believe it'll make a difference. The second reason, for us, for the people of the way, for those who follow Jesus, the second reason is this, because we believe God has made a way for it. So we keep doing something because of those two reasons. Probably will make a difference, and God has made a way for it. That second one is the one that we live by faith. Because sometimes there's a way where there seems to be no way. Now, that's what this parable of the woman and the unjust judge is about. And some of the points of the parable, just so we have them in our minds, are these. The judge here, in this case, is a man. The judge does not represent God. Sometimes in other cases in the scripture, a judge does represent God, but not in this case. It's fairly straightforward. He's a man. He doesn't care about God. That's one of the first clues that it's not a symbol of God. Just doesn't care about God and doesn't care about people either. What he cares about is what's in his own mind, what he thinks is right. This is what I'm thinking, and this is the way it'll be, and I don't care if God or anybody else says anything about it. That's just what I'm going to do. The woman is obviously poor and has been treated unjustly for some reason, and she has a case. She absolutely has a case. And the judge finally makes a decision. And the decision, it takes a little while because the judge wants to ignore her. And it's a very interesting cultural dynamic here, just as an aside. The woman keeps coming, obviously in a very annoying way at best, to the judge. The judge keeps just ignoring her. Women in that culture, as well as in the Middle East today, there'll be a lot of deference towards women, which is usually completely ignoring them, no matter what they say. When I was studying up on this, Kenneth Bailey, in his book, Jesus Through Middle Eastern Eyes, taught in Beirut for a number of years in the 70s and 80s. And, of course, there were armed guards all over the place. And he was actually under house arrest for about 2 months, I believe, he said. And he said he, from his window, he could see a woman come up to armed guards every day, really aggressive, pointing her finger, you guys, or whatever she said. But, if it was a man, he'd been shot on the spot. Well, they just ignored her and said, yes. She could do as often as she wanted. And that's a bit of what's going on here, and it's the way the judge is handling this woman. And there's some, if you start kind of going underneath a little bit, reading between the lines. There may be another reason that he's not doing anything. A bribe comes to mind. Other kinds of things that just, he's just not going to do it until he just can't take it anymore. She keeps asking and asking. And what's very interesting, I think, is that she keeps asking because she believes she'll get what she deserves. She believes justice will be done. She knows something is right, and if she keeps asking, she will get it. I don't think she's concerned about wearing down the judge too much, although that may have crossed her mind. But she says, I know what I see. I know what's happened. I know what should happen as a result, and I'm going for that. That's what I'm going to do. Why did she keep doing it? Because she knew that it was worthwhile. And Jesus is saying this is a picture of what it's like when God makes a way. It may not be obvious, and there may be obstacles, and it may be difficult, but God is making a way. So, Jesus takes this up, particularly that she believes this will actually happen. And he starts saying, what I really want you to know is this. I'm looking for faith. I'm looking for faith right now. I will be looking for faith in the weeks to come. And when I return at the end of time, I'll be looking for faith then too. Made me think it's kind of an important thing to catch faith, to know what that is, to know if I have it or not. So how do you know? How do you know? Faith is practiced because we actually believe that what God wants is going to happen. That's the motivation for it. So, for example, there are several food banks around, pantries. If you are supporting that food bank in some way, because you feel Jesus has said something to you about that, you know the day is coming when there will be no more hunger. That day is approaching, and it will be here. And so every can of food you provide, everything you do for the success of that food pantry, it is an announcement of the day when there's no more hunger. That's the practice of faith. You can't prove that there'll be no more hunger by what you see and the numbers. You know that Jesus is going to set that day up, and from that moment on, there will never be any more hunger. It's the same with disease. It is the same with loneliness. It is the same with all kinds of negative things that happen to us. The day is coming when he will overcome them. Everything we do that reflects that moment is a practice of faith. You know you have faith when you know Jesus is at work also right now. Right at this moment, he's extending his kingdom in such a way that what he desires is breaking in. And it is very uneven until the day he returns. But it is breaking in. All right, help me remember something. Did I tell you about the D-Day, VE Day, the end of World War II? How that is like the return of Jesus. Okay, good. Very good. Excellent. It fits in great right now. You remember D-Day, the Allied forces land on Normandy, and the Axis powers know it's over. The Germans know it's done. They did not give up until the next May, almost 11 months later. Well, just a little over 11 months, VE Day, Victory in Europe Day. From D-Day in June to VE Day the following May, it was the most vicious fighting of the war with the highest number of casualties. The day Jesus rose from the dead, all satanic forces knew it was over. The day he returns is the day they give up. In the meantime, it's going to be tough here and there. Now and again, very tough. But it's coming. It is coming. And you know it's coming. And when you practice against anything and everything else in light of what is coming, that's faith. You also know you have faith when you know that Jesus is building his church. And that can be difficult too. See, all of this is difficult. All of this can be uphill and challenging. But there'll be times when it appears as if, well, somebody's didn't come through or whatever, and how we're going to make it. And yet Jesus is building his church. When you know that, you keep going. You keep praying. You keep asking. You keep inviting. You keep evangelizing. You keep feeding the hungry. You keep doing what Jesus asked you to do because he's building his church. You know you have faith when you keep living in a way that shows you actually believe he will restore all things the way they were meant to be. And he can take as long as he wants or as short as he wants. He can do it if I'm not ready or if I've been ready all my life. It's up to him. But I'm going to live in a way that shows it is up to him. That's the practice of faith. Now, if along the way it hurts, you cry. If it didn't work, you're disappointed. If you're betrayed, it wounds you. You get the picture. None of those are reasons to stop living by faith, to give up the hope that he will restore all things in the way they were supposed to be and keep going in that manner. You keep working, praying, and giving for the extension of the kingdom of God because you know the one in whom you have believed, and he is above all else. That was a part of that Jesus referred to himself as the Son of Man. And when he gets to the actual point of these few sentences that he shares, he says, "And when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth?" This is the title that Jesus took the most for himself in the Gospels, the Son of Man. And the Son of Man is the one who connects heaven and earth. There's a few references in the Old Testament, particularly in Daniel and so forth, and in other places, and they all point to that kind of thing. The one who connects heaven and earth is the Son of Man. He's God who is with us. He's the one who's like Jacob's ladder. That when Nathanael first was called to be an apostle, Jesus said, "You know, you've seen the Son of Man and all this, and you've seen the angels ascending and descending on the Son of Man." That ladder in between. Now I want you to notice one thing very specific about the Son of Man as Jacob's ladder, because it has everything to do with faith. The angels are not descending from heaven to here and then going back up. It says they're ascending and descending. They start among us, go up the ladder, bringing everything about us. All of our gifts, all of our diseases, everything that's right, everything that's wrong, everything. And they bring it to the throne of God and then come back with what God has for us. And just keep doing that. That is where we receive faith. We're able to receive faith because the angels take first who we are, bring it to the throne of God, and all the answer, all the need, all the provision, everything that God would desire for us is brought back to that very situation and condition, so that we're able to walk by faith. We know a bit of how everything will be restored because it's begun to be restored in us by the Son of Man. That's what happens when we engage Him. Now, there's a couple of ways to really play this out, to walk it out in such a way that, we can embrace it, grow in it. So that if the Son of Man were to return at 3 o'clock this afternoon, He would find faith on the earth, particularly among us, which would be great. It's already there. It's already there. I just want to do a few things to point out how you and I are walking in it together and how that works. Because sometimes it seems like the steps are very small. But nonetheless, the faith is great. So here's one way. Would you this week pray for someone? I mean, let me put it this way. Are you the kind of person who would pray for someone for years to come to know Jesus just because the Jesus you trust with all you have loves that person? Would you pray and pray and keep on praying because of what Jesus sees that person like? That's faith. Would you keep working at something you believe God has asked you to do, or take it up again just because the Jesus you trust in with all you have wants to see that? Whatever it is. That's faith. Would you listen for what God is telling you about that and do what He's asking you just because you trust Him with all that you have? If God wants you to do something that's just little, just because He wants it, and you do it, that's faith. Okay, all right. Now, I know I don't even have to ask you for questions. I know there's a dangling, lingering question that's underneath that. You may have some more, which is fine. But here's the one question that I think is underneath that, because it comes to me almost all the time. How do I know what God wants? How do I know God's telling me to do that? How do I recognize God's voice? How do I hear His voice so that I know what He wants, so that I go ahead and do that? Would that be one of the questions that's going through your mind? Okay. So what I want to do, I mean, we've already started here. One of the main answers to that question is this. You start catching what Jesus wants and what He's going to restore, and you begin hearing it wherever you go. And that's a general way, but that's an important matter. And what I want to do from now through the rest of this liturgical season, which is the season of Pentecost, which is about 6 more weeks, I think, I want to spend some time with you each Sunday about how you hear the voice of God. Because that's how you will get faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. And I want to bring that out some more. There are many, many, many ways that you can hear the voice of God. And I want us to go into that over these next weeks so that we can live more by faith. And then we'll go into Advent, which is the season of the hope of Jesus' return, and look at some more things about what will be happening. And just run with that. Now remember, I always ask you two questions. What's God telling you? What does God want you to do about it? The assumption is you can hear that. So I want to unpack that a little more. And next week, what I want to do in particular with you is share with you about how God speaks to you in dreams. Because the Scripture says, "And in those days I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and you will dream dreams." First on the list. So Some of you may have had dreams last night from God. And when you catch them and begin leaning into God for what they mean and what they're about, when the Son of Man comes, he will find faith on the earth in you. Because it's one of the ways that you've begun to hear his voice. And there's a lot of that. There's a lot more to dreams than we'll be able to look at next week. But we'll get into it. See what it is, because the Spirit's been poured on you. And there's something very specific about St. Francis today and the dreams God is pouring out. But you have to show up next week at 10 o'clock to catch that. All right, everybody good? Excellent. Excellent. Let's stand and confess our faith in Christ.